Hey, Heat Nation. Welcome back to Heater's Gonna Heat. And welcome to season number two of the Heater's Gonna Heat podcast. As always, you're one of your co-hosts, Jorge Cantu, joined by Kyle Russell and Richard Anselmo. And guys, I'm pretty sure you're as happy as I am to be back on track and ready for the 2019-20 season of the Miami Heat.
More than ready.
Let's get this.
It's been 5 long months. Hasn't it?
Yeah, I won't lie. The first few months weren't too bad. At least we had, you know, the playoffs and all that and free agency. But the last two definitely were dragged on the most.
And Daryl Morey didn't help us any.
It just seems like the NBA can keep themselves away from controversy. I mean, that's obviously going to be a pod topic for another day. But I mean, for now, after a month and a half or so of catching a break, it was a much needed break for the team, for everyone. And I mean, we're ready. Of course, we started this Heater's Gonna Heat podcast late 2018, last year. Rich and I started it out, and we're ready to get it out on season number two. We're excited. You can look forward to a ton of fun content. A couple of episodes per week is our target. We're planning on crushing it, so make sure you're buckle up and be ready. So today, of course, we're here just to, quick reintroduction, discussion about our two preseason games we've gone thus far. We're recording this on Friday. It's going to drop on Saturday morning. We still have a couple to go. Not that preseason is that important, but we do have some interesting takeaways to start. So before we do, a quick reminder to all of our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at Heaters Heating, where, of course, we will be posting all of our new episodes. And as for the platforms in which you can find the Heater's Gonna Heat podcast on, you can find us on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, or tgbasketball.com, and more. Okay, so, I mean, as I just said, it's a preseason record. It doesn't really matter, right? But I think the purpose these couple of preseason games, the purpose they serve for Miami is, well, two for me. Number one, for players to get used to playing alongside an alpha for the first time in quite a lengthy period. And number two, for our young players to get back on rhythm, get the rookies, the younger players, the Exhibit 10 contract players on a rhythm. And I think we've been accomplishing these two objectives thus far.
We have. There's a lot of players, especially some young players who have played really well. It's also nice with new additions, too, not just Butler, with someone like Myers Leonard to watch him fit in. It's been good so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this, and one of the things that I've kind of noticed out of the first two games, at least, is also Spo kind of tinkering with certain lineups, seeing who can work with the starters, because it looks pretty clear. Like, one of the big questions we had was whether or not Winslow was going to start. He's gotten to so far. Who's working well with Butler? And then once the game gets later on, all right, which one, like you said, which of these young guys, which of these expiring contracts should we give a second look at and maybe keep on for the regular season?
Yep. And I think it's a bit surprising. We expected to see Dion Waiters in the starting lineup, but that hasn't been the case. It's been Duncan Robinson taking what would be Waiters' spot. And I mean, the first game, he wasn't as bright, but then game number two against the Charlotte Hornets was really good. And it's going to be interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about this later, about Waiters' comments on not starting, because we know how he feels, and he's been feeling this way for a long time, right? We're going to talk a little bit that. But for now, I mean, it's still kind of surreal watching Jimmy Butler play under a Miami Heat uniform. And, I mean, of course, we cannot expect the big stat lines or the big minutes in the preseason. But thus far, I'm really enjoying it. And it seems like the home crowd has as well.
Oh, they had to have. They had to have. That first game was great to watch. The starters played well. There were a lot of plus players. The bench contributions were good. I mean, even in the second game, at one point, Miami's lead had to have been close to 30 points. Mm-hmm. I like what I've seen.
Yeah, admittedly, I have not gotten my league pass situation figured out yet. but I've been watching a lot of highlights, been diving into the stats. And, yeah, it's looked great. I mean, the one thing that really stood out for me from the first game in regards to Jimmy Butler was just the 5 assists. Like, he was doing a good amount of playmaking. And that's good because, like, I've always seen Jimmy, at least, like, in my hope is that for the early parts of these games, he's doing more playmaking and trying to take it easy so then in the fourth quarter, if need be, he can take over.
Exactly. And that's great to see. I mean, I'm personally really excited to see what type of role, because, I mean, we know Jimmy can get, I mean, he's not Jimmy buckets for, he doesn't get called like that just because, right? We know he can get buckets and get them big time, especially as you mentioned, Kyle, in the fourth quarter. We saw Butler bail out the Sixers so many times late in games, in close games last season. And that was one of our main issues last year. And we discussed it right after we signed and traded Butler. He came over to Miami. We couldn't really emphasize how big it is that we now have a fourth quarter scorer. And, well, a clear alpha for any purpose, you know? And yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see what type of stat lines we get from Butler during the first regular season games. That's going to be certainly something to look out for. But going back a little bit to the first game, it was a blowout of the San Antonio Spurs. It was interesting to see. And Rich, you mentioned our kind of like newer players, younger players stepping in and contributing. What about Chris Silva? He is one of our Exhibit 10 contract players. He finished the game with 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, shooting 6-for-8 from the field in only 14 minutes. I think he was one of the surprises from that one game.
He was. He played very well. He's very efficient. He's good with the ball. He doesn't turn it over a lot. Although he did in the second game. In the first game, he didn't. But he's pretty careful with the ball, and he does make the right plays. I was really impressed in both games with Kendrick Nunn.
Okay.
I had scouted him at Oakland in college before last season and was surprised he wasn't drafted. He hasn't shown a lot of it yet, but he's got legit three-point range. The fact that he moved the ball the way he did and took good care of the ball showed me that he could be a backup that can play either spot. He didn't get a lot of time last year as they brought him in late. But he's someone I think could make this team and really contribute.
So what are you thinking then, like two-way contract or keep him on the bench? What are you thinking?
I don't know. Have they designated their two ways yet? I haven't seen any. I know when they signed him last year, it was a two-way.
It should still be.
And I think at the end of last year, what little time he got, he showed me enough. Plus the fact I had watched him for a couple of years. I think he may actually stick on the roster if he keeps playing the way he has.
You think he will?
I absolutely think he will. Against Charlotte, he had 7 assists, 1 turnover. Except for missing some threes, he shot well. He plays hard on defense. He was a plus player in both games.
Yeah, plus you got to think like one of the hanging storylines for this season could potentially be a Goran Dragic trade. And if that ends up being the situation, we'll need a backup point guard.
And I do see him getting moved.
Yeah, it's such a big expiring.
Looking at things right now, we have 14 guaranteed contracts. We're still pending our conversions to two ways, if I'm not mistaken. So we have Silva. And also, Devon Reed, who we will also discuss in a minute, he had a great game against Charlotte. He's also an Exhibit 10 contract. Right. So I'm pretty sure we're still pending to convert him. And it's going to be interesting to see who gets the call.
Akpala might be a two-way contract.
Well, according to Basketball Reference, he was signed using the mid-level exception.
Oh, okay. So they guaranteed him.
Yeah, seems like a regular contract. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can see Akpala being going to the G League for most of this year. I mean, we got enough depth, and unless there's an injury to someone like, say, like James Johnson, I don't see why he would be called up.
I'd rather see him get minutes, to be honest.
It's same thing here. Yeah, give him minutes to the G League, let him dominate, get the confidence up. I mean, we've done that with so many prospects, and it's turned out well. Tyler Johnson, I think Hassan, we sent him to the G League for a little bit as well. So
right. Roddy Magruder.
Ah, yeah, Roddy's a good one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of like the Heat specialty. And I do think Okpala deserves some playing time, especially as he continues to develop his game, because it seems like the Heat, we were really high on him on draft night, and it was surprising for him to be able to snatch him over in the second round. They traded up to get him. It was kind of like a controversial decision for some, but I mean, after discussing it here on the podcast, I think it was a solid move. I hope he gets some minutes. But also, speaking about draft, talk about our rookie, Mr. Tyler Hero. 18 points, 3 assists on 24 minutes, and 7 for 13 shooting from the field against the Spurs as well. For whatever reason, well, this was, of course, his first, let's say, pro game. But for whatever reason, he looked super comfortable out there. You know, not in a rush, taking things calmly, shooting with confidence, a couple of runners and floaters, like he's an experienced veteran. I like to see that. That's something you really, really like to see from a young player. And I was honestly surprised to see Hero have such a good performance and look so calm and collected in his first ever pro game.
I was happy. I mean, he had 3 assists in the second game, too. He didn't score as much, but he was a double-figure plus guy in both games. And what I really liked when I saw, he's not just a shooter. He comes off the ball. He'll take 1 or 2 dribbles. He'll go in for a mid-range pull-up. There's a lot of different things he can do with the ball. There's things he does off the ball that I really like. I think he can get some time quickly. I mean, it's nice in this situation to not have to rely on him to play 30, 35 minutes a night, but I haven't seen any reason why he shouldn't get time.
Yeah, kind of pretty much the same thing. My hope for him going into this season was that he would be a consistent rotation player, and everything has trended towards that so far. I mean, he dominated in summer league, and now the preseason looks good. I mean, that what surprised me the most was how clean that step back three of his is. Because Dwayne Wade could do that within the twos, but I don't think we've ever had anybody being able to do step backs like that. And it goes back to something that I know he said, that he's more comfortable shooting off the dribble than he is off catch and shoot, which is a little odd. I mean, obviously, he'll get better at the catch and shoot. His shot is so good. But already having that off the dribble step back three, I mean, that's going to give our second unit an entirely new dimension. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how his minutes go throughout the year, whether or not he starts getting more and more minutes, because it's definitely a possibility the way that he's played.
No, that's a great point. Having someone, especially a rookie this young, having someone who can create his own shot off the bench, off the dribble, or even any tough shots coming off screens or, you know, pin downs, that's such a huge asset, especially for bench units that sometimes tend to, you know, get stagnant and not get as much movement or as much a juice out due to, well, of course, the top players, the star players sitting. So it's going to be interesting. And I do think he's going to get consistent minutes throughout the season. You also said something very interesting, Kyle, and it's that he's not facing the same pressure as some of his fellow rookie peers of, you know, coming in and being asked to contribute right away and, you know, facing all of the media pressure and the pressure that comes with, you know, being a lottery pick. He's not in that situation. So we can only hope that he continues to playing good. Moving on to the Hornets game, we saw, and we mentioned him, Devon Reed, another Exhibit 10 contract. You know, interesting stat line, 14 points, 9 rebounds, shot 5 for 6 from the field including 4 from 5 from three, which I think is the key stat right here, in only 19 minutes. This dude was lights out from deep, and most of the people watching the game might have not even know who he was.
I had to look him up. I wasn't sure about him. But he looked really good. And he wasn't forcing it either. A lot of times with young players, they'll force that because they want to take as much advantage as they can as with their minutes. He was just smooth. And he definitely fit right into that. He came in, he did what he had to do. And like I said, he didn't force, he just played it very, very well. And if you look at his G League numbers from last year, I think he's kind of outgrown that.
Yeah, he had a solid run with the Suns, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. The Suns and their never-ending guard problems from last season. I'm pretty sure the Suns had like 10 different point guards throughout the year. Thankfully, that's already solved for them.
But also, I was just going to say, based on what I've heard, he sounds like we were saying, he wasn't really trying to show out too much. He was trying to more fit in, which I guess for like this Heat team with, you know, how well-disciplined it is, that I think kind of stands out more to somebody like Spoelstra, that like, hey, this guy is willing to come in and be a part of the system instead of trying to take for himself. I think Spo would respond a bit better to that. The other thing I want to say is that I think we're starting to make a trend of picking up the scraps from Phoenix and turning them into something.
Mm-hmm. That's something that's been going on for some time now, huh?
True.
Picking up the wave players that other teams don't. Well, I mean, it happened, of course, with Derrick Jones Jr. And look, I personally love him, and I'm sure Rich loves him as well. I don't know how high you are on him, Kyle, but at least I know Rich and I really love him.
Derrick Jones Jr., yeah. I mean, I love his athleticism. I honestly really hope that his shot continues to develop. He was awesome from the corners last year. But I think that he could be a really good rotation level player for us.
Yep, that's the one key. And continue with the Charlotte impressive stat lines. We saw Mr. Dion Waiters coming into his eighth NBA season. He scored 19 points on 7 for 12 shooting, including 4 for 5 from three. It took him 16 first half minutes to score 19. And he also added 4 assists, which is another thing to look out for. But I wonder, why can we always get this Dion Waiters? I mean, he's not going to shoot 4 for 5 from three every game. But at least, you know, something more consistent, more. It felt like, Kyle, you said that Spo likes it when players, you know, cooperate and play within the flow of the game. It felt like Waiters did exactly that in the second game against the Hornets. Why can he be like that all the time? He's such an asset when he plays like this. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I do have some real estate in Waiter Island right now. I rebought it back after selling a bit of it last year. But I mean, I would just like to see this guy play a bit more consistently and be a part of, you know, be a team player 100% all the time, or I mean most of the time.
After 7 years, 8 years, he is who he is. I just don't think he's going to change. This is what he is. Milk the great games. When he's on, keep going to him. When he's not, back off of him. He's not going to like it, but I think this team has enough backcourt talent. Or if they move Dragic and Waiters out, it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, those two are some very nice, interesting contracts to, you know, on the expiring market that could gauge some interest. But Kyle, any thoughts on Waiters in this preseason game and what we've seen?
So, I mean, the big thing for the last few years has just been the injuries. Last time we saw the fully healthy Dion Waiters was during that 30-11 stretch. And, I mean, everybody in Heat Nation was buying property on Waiters Island. Going into this season, I mean, yeah, we've seen the summer stuff. We've seen him. He's trying to put in as much work as he possibly can. He seems in really good shape. I think Spoelstra really wants to make him earn it, because that was the odd thing that we haven't seen him start in the first two games. Because given all the summer work he did, I would have thought that he would have at least gotten a starting nod along with like Winslow or something, just to see how that works. In regards to, yeah, just like the whole idea that he's selfish, I mean, I will always say that he's been a willing passer. That's one of the things I do like about something that he's added since he's been in Miami is his, some good assists. I mean, 4 assists in the first game, 4 assists in the last one. And then I think the big difference this time was kind of like you were alluding to earlier. He tried to more fit in instead of stand out. First game, he seemed, from what I've heard, he had a good bit of nerves. This one, he seemed to calm down and try to get more into the flow of things. And I hope that he gets rewarded for that and that he continues to push for that, because I do really believe in the 30 and 11 Deion Waiters, that that's still there, that he can be a starter and a key contributor. I think the big difference, though, and to draw like a parallel, say, to Whiteside, was Whiteside always kind of expected it and didn't always want to earn that starting role. He just kind of expected it would be his because of the contract. Whereas Deion, from what I've heard, yes, he wants to start, but he's also framed it as like, look, I know I need to do better to get that starting role. That's his goal, if that's the difference. I'm just hoping that he continues to put in the work and reaches that goal, because I do think that our best starting lineup would include Deion Waiters.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would love to see him be that Deion Waiters again. You just have a little more faith, pal, than I do.
Yeah, that's fair.
But how long is he going to be happy coming off the bench?
That's going to be the big question. And then it's the balance then of like, is this just like a little bit of a test that Spo's doing? Because even last season, when he wasn't even nowhere near as good a shape, he eventually got the starting nod. So I guess that's kind of the question. Is Spo just doing this for a few games, and then if Deion continues to look good, he'll go to the starting role? Or is Spo really going to try to put him on the bench? And the dynamic between the two of them is what's going to define it. But I do see your point in that if Spo wants to keep him in a bench role, that he could start getting unhappy and complain more.
I hope that doesn't happen.
That's actually something, a specific quote that we're going to discuss right at the end of today's episode. Because we know Deion Waiters does much better when he's not coming off the bench. Well, that means when he's starting, right? So, I mean, I'm trying to be as optimistic as we can. I mean, the conditioning, I mean, he looks in awesome shape. He doesn't look like chubby like last year, with all due respect to Mr. Waiters. But you said it, Rich. It's just who he is, and it's hard to trust this type of player. But I guess that's all we got left to do. And I really do hope he earns a starting spot, because I do agree with Kyle that I think our best starting lineup includes him in there alongside Jimmy, both of them playing on the wing. But I mean, we'll see how things go. For now, he has a really nice game under his belt, something to brag about. Moving on a little bit more to team takeaways from these two games. I think there are two interesting points to discuss here. Number one, and this one is very interesting to me, we saw some really good free throw shooting after being the worst free throw shooting team last year, if not the second worst. I might be mistaken, but we were bottom two. That's a thing. In the first game against the Spurs, we shot 17 for 21, which is good for 81%. That's over 10% better than our average from last year, I'm pretty sure. And then in the second game, we didn't shoot as many, but still went 9 for 9. That's 100% against the Hornets. So I really hope that the free throw thing will not be an issue this year. I don't know. I mean, with players like Tyler Hero coming in, you expect, you know, better shooters, well, better free throw shooting numbers. But we made a point of emphasis last season on how big this was and how dumb it was that we were losing close games for not being able to make, well, free shots, at literally as it is.
Right, and it was. And if you count the losses because of bad free throw shooting days, this was a playoff team if they shot better from the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's easy points, and for a team that was as well coached as the Heat is, that was always something that confused me last season. Looking at this though, like I do think obviously we have Tyler Hero now. I mean, he was 90%+ in his one college season. That guy is pretty much automatic from the line. He's going to help boost our numbers. And also, I think, and I hate to kind of drag him through the mud a little bit on this, but also not having Whiteside on their roster is going to help. His free throw shooting torpedoed last season and was one of the big contributing factors for why it was so low, because it became a little hack of Hassan. So, you know, got rid of a negative, brought on a really good positive, and then hopefully just some internal development and more focus on the free throw shooting. Yeah, that can give us a boost, an easy boost, because the free throw is always as easy points.
And yeah, Bam looks good from the line this year. His form looks better. He seems really relaxed.
Go
ahead.
No, I just want to say about the Whiteside you brought up, Kyle. That was so weird because he was actually improving his free throw numbers before last season. They were going up. I mean, slowly, but slow and steady wins the race. And then I don't know if it was like the mental thing or if what was it that happened to him that he went back down to 40, low 40s%, I'm pretty sure, which is, I mean, that's a disgusting figure. Andre Drummond-esque figure from his worst days. And, I mean, I do wish the best for him and for the Blazers and whatever they're planning to do with him. But, yeah, the thing is, while we keep improving on these little points of emphasis, added to our newest star player in Jimmy Butler, I think we're due for some interesting improvements on the standings. Because, Rich, you pretty much said it. If it wasn't for bad free throw shooting in most of our close games last year, we would have been a playoff team, plain and simple.
That's what gets me excited for this year.
Well, that we had some easily fixable things, and hopefully now we can comfortably make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to make it. I think so. It would be crazy to think a Jimmy Butler led team won't make the playoffs just by the looks of it. But I do think, even though I was a bit harsh with our with our team in our way too early standings preview we did 2 months ago, I do think we have a shot at the fourth seed, maybe even three. We'll see how things progress throughout the season, but that's something interesting to keep an eye on. The other thing I wanted to bring up was the notable three-point shooting. It wasn't as good as game one. It was not too pretty, but I mean, it seems like we got willing and good shooters. I mean, poor Duncan Robinson, he went 1-for-7. Justice went 0-for-4. Overall, we shot 25% of threes or some. But talk about the game two against the Hornets, who went 15-for-37, which is good for 40.5%. We had three players who made at least 4 three-pointers in Dion Waiters, Devon Reed, and Duncan Robinson. If we get a chance to get our guys hot, then we need to keep banging them. I don't know what you think about this.
Well, I mean, Reed and Waiters were each 4-for-5. Which is amazing. And those are the kind of streaks you look for. You know no one's going to do that every night. But when you have guys that are hitting a couple, keep feeding them. Until they show you they can't hit them, or the other team doesn't guard them well enough, take the shots. I think the more players feel comfortable with themselves and they're comfortable in their game, I think it helps your shooting. Any kind of confidence is going to help. And if you hit a couple, it just makes it that much easier. Those weren't just shots they were throwing up. I mean, Reed's shots looked really good. They looked good leaving his hand. Same thing with Robinson. I was amazed he was only 4-for-9 because his shot looked great against Charlotte.
Man, 4 for 9 is still really good for in an NBA game.
It is.
We kind of knew going into this season that shooting was going to be a bit of a concern. Jimmy Butler is a phenomenal offensive player, but at best he's like an okay to maybe above average shooter, so we knew that was still going to be a bit of an issue. I did like seeing the contributions by Devon Reed and all that. My only concern is whether or not he'll be enough of a rotation player to get those kind of minutes and make that kind of impact in the regular season. Looking at Tyler Hero's shooting, I think he's probably going to be our best shooter next season. And we need some growth from some of the other players. We need Winslow to repeat what he did last year. Waiters to show that that last month of the season wasn't a fluke, that he can continue. Butler, maybe he can pick his spots, or if he's improved his jumper as well. We do need an all-around thing. The one player that I would like to spotlight in terms of the shooting, though, was Myers Leonard, who still shot 40% over the two games. Mainly just because, we're going to be without Olynyk for a little bit at the start of the season. And it's looking like Myers Leonard might be the stand-in for Olynyk that can replicate some of the things that he did for this starting lineup. So I was glad to see that some of the shooting that he did in Portland was translating over here as well.
Oh, Myers Leonard is like a Kelly Olynyk copy. Just, maybe not as laterally mobile on defense and not as big of a hustler as Olynyk. I think there's no replacing that. But when you're talking about skill set and capabilities, I genuinely think Myers Leonard is as close as you get to Kelly Olynyk in terms of replicating his skill set. And I'm happy we have both of them on the team, because that means we can have one of them starting and the other coming off the bench. We discussed it, and I personally think it would be better for Olynyk to continue starting and bring Leonard as our secret kind of weapon off the bench. But I really, really like that, because, he can also grab rebounds. He can make threes. What else do you want from a big guy? The defense, he can play defense on the interior. If he gets pulled out by opposing forwards, then that's going to be a different story that we're pending to see. But I'm really excited by what we're going to get to see from Mr. Leonard. And speaking about Kelly Olynyk, I'm personally very sad, because I'm a big Olynyk fan. He's still out with a right knee bone bruise. According to ESPN, he's tagged as day-to-day. Hope he can be ready for the start of the regular season. And continuing with our injury report, not really an injury, but Mr. James Johnson is still out due to bad conditioning. What do you think about this move? That's typical Miami Heat. That's something Pat Riley, would do on his sleep. What do you think about holding or keeping James Johnson from reporting to the team until he improves his conditioning? Because this is James Johnson.
It's not the first time they've done it, though. They've done it to him before. This isn't the first year he hasn't come in shape. And I love it. I think it's what they should be doing. This is your job, and if you don't take it seriously enough, you were off since April. If you couldn't take the end of August and September to get yourself in shape to come into camp, you're not taking your job seriously.
Seems like Mr. Johnson didn't learn his lesson, right, Kyle?
It's kind of odd to me, because some of the stuff that I heard out of James Johnson's camp was that he was trying to come in the best, kind of like Waiters, he was trying to come in the best shape of his life and all that. So then to hear that he wasn't meeting conditioning standards was a bit surprising. I think, though, that maybe they almost want to say maybe they upped the standards or something, because even Dion Waiters, for as good as he is, one of the quotes that I saw was Spo didn't think that he was completely in Miami Heat shape yet. So I'm guessing that they've probably upped the standards a little bit, and that's what's been affecting both James Johnson and Dion Waiters. But I also think it's a little bit of a precedent now that they have Jimmy Butler. They're trying to, go more in on this. We're going to be even beyond just the best conditioned team in the league. We're going to be the best conditioned team within this decade or something along those lines.
No, man. Jimmy Butler is the king of accountability. I mean, how long until Deion Waiters creates some locker room problems? And I mean, what are the odds Jimmy grabs the third stringers to beat up Deion or something? I just love it. I just love that Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler and Heat culture are like one in themselves. They're, it's a perfect match. It's a match made in heaven. I just really, really love it. And I mean, going back to the James Johnson thing, I really like it. You know, thankfully, it's not a guy like Justice or Bam, you know, one of our focus players who is in this situation. It would be unfortunate if it were. I mean, not that James Johnson is our one of our main contributors, so it's not like we're going to miss him. But I think it sets the standard for what we are trying to do and for the culture that Jimmy Butler is coming into. You know, these type of disciplinary measures, if we can call it this way, I just love it. And I mean, we'll just have to wait and see how long until James Johnson gets back into Miami Heat form.
If he does.
If he does. If not, let's get him traded. Much easier said than done, right?
Yeah, maybe this is the optimist in me. I do think he'll be on the roster. Cause we do kind of need a little bit of his skill set, at least on the bench as well, for some of the bigger players. But James Johnson, I know you can do it. You can come back and be the super productive player you've usually been.
Oh, yeah. His toughness is much needed. And we saw him 2-3 years ago literally playing the best basketball of his life, which is what earned him this huge contract. But, I mean, he doesn't really have any other option right now. Imagine a team sending you back home because you don't have proper conditioning and him not being able to come back. How? I mean, who would want him back on a team? Which other team would like to call on him? I mean, maybe he'll get a couple of offers too, but maybe not the interest that he would have if he were in, you know, normal shape or in good shape. But even then, I wouldn't want to be the guy who told James Johnson, okay, you cannot come in, because, you know, he's like a big fighter and things, so who knows how he could have reacted, right? But yeah, to close out the today's episode, just said it. How long until Deion Waiters creates some locker room problems and he gets into a fight with Jimmy Butler? Give me an estimated time. I say 2 months.
Let's see how the season goes.
I actually am going to say that there will not be an issue because Deion Waiters will make the starting lineup beforehand and then him and Butler will get along perfectly.
You really think Deion Waiters will be in the starting lineup by the start of the regular season?
Maybe not by the start of the regular season, but I remember what we were saying earlier, it's going to be the balance between who's going to run out of, like, whether Spo puts him in the starting lineup or if Deion loses patience. Yeah. I think he sticks his head down and he gets to the starting lineup before he loses patience, whether that's beginning of the regular season or a few weeks in.
Yeah, because we heard what he said. We heard the quote, "I have no business coming off the bench. I want to start."
But he also said that he understands where Spo's was coming from, and that's between him and Spo. So he was always saying, look, I understand this is Spo's decision, and I'm going to earn that starting role.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, that's the one thing I wanted to highlight, that I think he seems a bit more comprehensive and, I guess, patient than he has been before. But to me, it's just funny because we've always liked to pick on Deion Waiters for so many different little things. But I hope that Jimmy coming in will really be kind of like a career-changing partnership or teammate or whatever for him. Because when Deion Waiters, and I wanted to say this earlier, but my point got lost in the conversation. But I think when Deion Waiters is held accountable, he is a starting, like a solid starting caliber player. Maybe not your first scoring option, but a solid second, third, probably. You know, not the guy to dribble the basketball. Let's let Jimmy and Justice do that. But maybe the guy who can come in and take those late shot clock shots every now and then. I would really like to see that. But just as with everything else, we'll just have to wait and see how this story unfolds. Because we just, and the NBA overall, just cannot seem to get away from the drama and from the funny stories and stuff of that sort. But yeah, I am really excited to finally have some Miami Heat basketball. When do we have our next game?
Oh,
that is a good question.
Because admittedly, I haven't checked. I'm assuming it has to be either tomorrow, Saturday, or the day after tomorrow on Sunday. as I'm opening my NBA app here on the phone.
Monday the 14th against the dreaded Hawks.
Oh, until Monday. Ooh, that matchup against the Hawks is going to be really interesting. I guess we'll be back next week to talk a little bit about how things continue to unfold. But, man, I'm just in a rush for the regular season to start.
You got like a week and a half left.
Mm-hmm. Much closer. Yeah, but, I mean, at least we're closer than the freaking 3 months we were killing ourselves just recording some nonsense episode and whatnot. But, yeah, it's only season, a week and a half left from that. And it's going to be a great season. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a great season for the Miami Heat as an organization, and it's going to be a great season for the Heaters Gonna Heat podcast and us three. So before we finish out today's episode, guys, would you like to remind everyone, please, where we can find you on social media? Plug in all of your platforms and other outlets.
You can find me on Twitter at @RichA_NBA, RICHA. I am on SB Nation Radio on the NBA show, which is, they've moved us now to every Wednesday, 8 p.m. till 10 Eastern time. Season 2 of my podcast, which has been rebranded since someone stole my old name. And this time I filled out trademark paperwork.
I love that story.
Scoops and Hoops will be dropping either later tonight or tomorrow, the first episode. And it will be a Western Conference preview. And I'll drop one more before the season begins. It's an Eastern Conference preview then every week, like I did last year. Also on Sports Byline Radio. Geez, I have had a lot of calls this week because of the whole China thing. And I am so sick of talking about that. But that's all anyone wants to talk about. I just want to talk more basketball.
This is what happens in the preseason. We need stuff.
Yeah, we keep looking for stuff to talk about because we're desperate for basketball, ain't we? Kyle?
Sorry. You can find me on Twitter at KBR Heat Nation, and you can catch all the pods that I'm doing via the OTG network. And then everything I'm writing either on OTG Basketball or Last Word on Pro Basketball.
Thank you. And you can find me on Twitter at Kentu_NBA, CANTU_NBA. You know, I love the Twitter discussion as much as the rest of the Heaters Gonna Heat crew does. And, well, you can find me every week, every episode right here at Heaters Gonna Heat. And, well, I personally want to thank you for all the support that you've shown to this podcast thus far. You can rest assured that we're going to have a great season together. So, once again, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week in our next episode. Have a great week, everyone.
Have a good one.
Y'all have some fun.